Welcome to Restaurant Influencers. I am your host, Sean Walchef. This is a Cali BBQ media production. We are so grateful because in life, in the restaurant business, and in the new creator economy, we learn through lessons and stories. I have a very special guest, a guest that is not only a former restaurateur, but she is here to put on a masterclass in branding. That is the Ghetto Country brandmother herself, Phyllis Williams-Strotter. Phyllis is a dear friend, and I'm so excited to have you on the show today. Phyllis, welcome.
Thank you so much, Sean. You know, I'm always happy to talk to you. And that whole float your boat kind of deal, you know, I'm here for it.
A rising tide lifts all ships.
Yes, yeah, we want to
give a special shout out to Toast, our primary technology partner at our restaurants, for giving us this platform, giving us this stage to share stories with the best restaurateurs, the best storytellers on earth. And Phyllis, you're definitely one of them. I'm honored to have you on the show to share your expertise, because you know how much we believe in storytelling. You know how much we believe in branding. We're going to start with our favorite random question, which is, where in the world is your favorite stadium, stage, or venue?
Oh my goodness. You know, being from LA, I'm going to say Staples Center.
Staples Center. Crypto? Staples, or are we going Staples? I'm a Staples guy myself. So
yes, definitely. Okay.
Fair enough. So we're going to go to Staples. I'm going to put you on center court. And, you know, what I tell people all the time is it's so important to tell your story to one person. But it's even more important to tell your story on the internet. And it's even more important to believe in the things that are coming out of your mouth. And I know that there's no one on earth that believes more in the things coming out of her mouth than Phyllis Williams-Strotter. I'm going to give you the mic and I'm going to take you back. I'm going to say, Phyllis, please set the stage. We have hospitality professionals packing this arena. They're here for your TEDx restaurant talk, and they want to know, what happened? What happened when you closed your restaurant, and what helped you build the brand that you have today?
Oh my gosh. If we're going to take it back there, one of the things that I was used to when we had the restaurant was Neil's big ass mouth, because Neil was a media whore. He still is, just not to the same level. And having him always be the face of our business and our brand was really great for me, because I was truly behind the scenes and I liked being behind the scenes, even though it made me a bit resentful. But then one day I got tired of it, y'all. I'm like, you know what? I just want to stay married. Because it was either going to be the marriage or the business. And I chose to stay married. And I told Neil I did not want to do this anymore. And thankfully, him always being the supportive husband that he is, he's like, okay, baby, I got this. But Neil don't like employees. He don't like people like that. So he soon realized that, you know, we were better off together. But since we were not going to be together, he's like, baby, I'm going to follow you because I'm not doing this without you. And it was a great thing. And so I went out and I thought my notoriety as being Mrs. Mister and all of that kind of stuff was going to translate into business for me and people coming at me on how to run a business, how to be the back end of a restaurant and all of that kind of stuff. And it did not happen. And the biggest reason it didn't is because I didn't know how to talk about myself. I didn't know how to talk about myself in a way that made me enticing. And I talk about branding as a way of being flirtatious. And a lot of people do not know how to flirt in this day and age. So sad. It's such a lost skill. But I did not know how to operate on that level, because it was usually Neil go do this TV show, Neil go be on the news and all of those type of things. It's like you show up for all of your stuff. I see you when you're posting about the news cameras being in front of you and all of those different things. But when there's nobody else to push out front, and especially when you're the founder, when you're the owner, when you should be the biggest influencer of your stuff, then it gets to a point where, you know what, I got to learn to speak up. And this especially became true for me because I left the restaurant to become a business coach, but it happened shortly before the pandemic. And when the pandemic hit and I saw all the restaurants closing and all of the chains staying open and having drive-throughs and finding a way to work around the loopholes, and that nonsense pissed me off no end. And I'm like, and it made me realize most restaurants do not have a brand, whether it's the founder having a personal brand or the business having a business brand. They do not have a brand. They have a concept. They have a menu. They have some gitchy kind of crap, but they do not have a brand. And so there was no loyalty built into to help them counteract what was happening with the pandemic. Nobody was staying loyal. It's like, you know what? So sad for them. I'm going to go spend my money somewhere else. And that truly broke my heart. And that's how I end up kind of pivoting into branding in and of itself. But then also knowing that a lot of restaurants operate on the whole thin line profit margin nonsense, nobody really wanted to pay me what I was asking for. Yep. And it was like, you know what? This is too hard. F them people. Because no one in the restaurant business, and this was us too, nobody in the restaurant business really sees the value of a brand. They yeah. see the value of, oh, my food is good. Oh, my pictures look great. But they don't know how to open up their mouth and get people to stay loyal to the brand. And that's what people usually buy. And it's actually the biggest asset that you have. People don't want your recipes. They want something that's built up goodwill and longevity over the long haul. You don't think about it as an exit plan because you figure you're going to ride it till the wheels fall off. But branding within the restaurant industry is so lacking. And so many restaurants are still closing because now we have chefs and all that thing. They're trying to be personalities because all of the what is it? The TV shows on the Cooking Channel and I forget, Food Network. Everybody wants to be on those. So you're making it self-serving instead of figuring out how to serve your audience and serve your staff, because that's your job. It is something that is near and dear to my heart because I believe food is more than just showing up and eating and get your bellies full. Food is the first date. It's a family gathering. It's a, you know what, let's go and chill for a minute and not have to wash dishes. It's all these different things, but you think it's about the food. Y'all need to stop that nonsense. So I truly believe that in this coming era, even though with automation and all that kind of stuff, sweetie, you're going to have to learn how to be your own best influencer. And that does not mean saying, oh, we cook the best meat in town. You're going to have to find a way to connect. Yes, you're going to have to find a way to connect. And the best way to do that is find something that is near and dear to you besides the food, connect it with the brand, and let's talk about it. Let's be about it. And make sure that everybody that's working for you is also feeling that same love, so that they can tell the same story over and over and over.
Do you remember when you made that decision to close the restaurant?
Oh, hell yeah.
What pushed you over the edge?
What pushed me over the edge? I think I had always worked up to it. But one of the things that I did while Neil and I had the restaurant.
How many years did you have the restaurant?
We had our food business for about 10 years. For about 10 years, we worked together and we built it. We were actually on our way to opening a third restaurant. We had two at the time. We were about to open a third. We were going to do a whole nother concept. And I was like, you know what? This is not me. I don't even cook on purpose at home. I should not be. I should not be owning a restaurant. And the guilt behind parenting, because Morgan became part of the business. We put her to work at 9 years old, which was not necessarily a bad thing because we were able to start a retirement account and all that kind of stuff at nine. But it's like, I felt like I was dragging my child around. I felt like I had gotten lost. Being Mrs. Mister gave me an identity crisis. I got tired of people seeing me everywhere. It's like, oh, you going to get some barbecue? And it's like, bitch, I do more than barbecue. But people see you and they think that's all they know you for and that's all you're about. And it was getting out of that. It's like when I was somewhere with my daughter and someone went to the whole barbecue place. Oh, Mrs. Mister and da, da, da. It's like, you know what? Enough is enough. Right now, I'm not Mrs. Mister. I'm Morgan's mom. And you guys don't seem to see that. And you want to infringe on my life with barbecue. I don't even eat barbecue half the time anymore because I'm around it all the time.
Yeah.
So it was that moment and telling Neil, and when Neil finally deciding that he was going to roll with me, I promise you, we had the final discussion. We made the decision in June, sent out a Instagram and all this stuff that our last day was July 3rd. We sold our house as is. We were out. We left California and everything. Wow. We were just done. So we made the decision in June, closed down in July. By August, we were living in Oregon. That's how fast it happened.
How did you feel when you moved to Oregon?
For a while, relaxed. For a while. But being a lifelong learner, it's like, okay, I got to find something to do because this was not getting in. And plus, I did not know how to market as an independent business, as a solopreneur. And that got really hard. And then I went and I actually tried to get a job. sweetie, I could never get a job again. Nobody in their right mind should ever hire me. But I did. I was like, you know what? And I mean, we had enough runway and all that kind of stuff where I did not have to rush, but I still felt panicked because for so long I had operated under the guise of, you know what? You don't work, you don't eat. Your income is solely dependent on you making sure that your business is doing what it's supposed to do to make money. And not having that and relying on living off savings till I figured this whole thing out. No, I had a child and I was trying to tell Neil I was going to turn him into a trophy husband and I couldn't do it based on what I was doing. But yeah, it was like, man, I had to do something. And so going through school and getting the certifications, because I wanted to be a master business coach and it required 10 different certifications. But branding is where I stopped. That was my fourth one and that's where I stopped. And stuff just got, you know what, it got real for me. And I decided it's like, you know what is this? And we had a brand. Big Mister was a brand. And we were on TV and we, oh, don't ever do the Great Food Truck Race. That's a whole nother story. But we did all of these things. And it's like, but I didn't fully understand what we weren't doing. And I tell people now, it's like, yes, we were a multi-million dollar business. But now I look back and I see how many millions we left on the table. Mm-hmm. And it's a hard lesson, but it's, if I had not went into branding, I wouldn't see the lessons. And like I said, I see people still doing the same thing, some of the same things that we did. And while they may be making money, they may be generating revenue, sweetie, trust and believe, you're leaving millions on the table because you are not using your brand and your marketing to the full impact that it could have. Just putting out great food pictures and making people hungry, I don't put no money in your pocket. That's the serious thing that I learned.
Let's go inside of Ghetto Country Brandmother. When did the brand Ghetto Country Brandmother, when did it come to be?
Oh my goodness. I had always known that I was Ghetto Country. I just never really called it a thing. And I happened to be, When Clubhouse was really popping, Chris Doe was bringing in these massive rooms, and I get on the stage with Chris Doe. I'ma ask this dude something. I don't know what it is, and da da da. And I get up there, and my heart is palpitating, and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, oh Lord, what am I gonna say? And he asked me to introduce myself. I said, well, you know what? I'm Ghetto Country. I was raised hood adjacent by a country mama, and I couldn't even finish introducing myself because he just fell out because he thought it was the greatest thing.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like, that was the beginning of it. But the brand mother didn't kick in until he started calling me. I forgot, he called me something. I was like, you know what? And the thing that I realized, and I actually did something, I was doing a podcast about it this morning, is that I've been a mother my whole life, whether I had kids or not. I've always been a mom. And I act like that in my business because I used to call our employees my barbecue babies. These are my barbecue babies. Eric was in marketing. Juan wanted to go in. Carlos wanted to go into, I think he wanted to go into politics. Cameron wanted to go into fine dining. But these were my babies. And they knew that they could not stay with me. They had to outgrow me. And so it was like, you know what? I had to own it. And if I didn't, I would probably run my business a different way, because one of the things that I had to let go of when I discovered branding, I'm not code switching no more, not for nobody. That got old real quick because I went back into my corporate mindset of, you know what, they're only going to hire me if I act this way, talk this way, look this way. And I'm like, this is so not it for me. That the code switching that a lot of us think that we have to do in order to make money, I think is in our own minds. People would not think that as being Ghetto Country, because I'm, and mind y'all, I'm taming my tongue because I'm trying to make sure that Sean doesn't have to give this a R rating.
This is entrepreneur. If we're true to entrepreneurs, we got a filthy mouth.
Yes. And there's this whole thing about, you know what? I got to switch it up. I got to, and you know, being in the kitchen, you cuss every time you tap your toe, somebody yep. drop a brisket, you ruin the sleeve of lids. All you see pennies or it's no big deal. But when you know that your money, you know who, crap, I can't think of Mike's last name, from Murfreesboro. Mike Mills. When I first got into barbecue, I went to his, I forgot what they used to call it, something Q, master class they used to have, our boot camp.
Amazing. With Amy Mills, phenomenal.
Yeah. And there was one thing that he said back then that I have never forgotten to this day. He said, it's not in dollars, but it's in cents. It's like, you need to be counting the pennies. And when you see the pennies on the floor by way of lids and all this kind of stuff, because we get caught up in the whole thing of lean profit margins, sweetie, that's my money. And so one of the things that my staff always knew when I would hire somebody new, y'all tell them the one rule. One rule was, don't fuck with our money.
Yep.
That meant, don't waste my soap. Don't steal my stuff. If you want something, ask for it. I might give it to you, but that's not the thing to do, because I will cut you to the white meat. Seriously.
Cut you to the white meat. I would love for you to talk a little bit more about the Social Audio at Clubhouse. What has it done for you? It connected you and I. I wouldn't know. I mean, I'm sure our circles are too small and you speak too much truth. I would have found you on LinkedIn or TikTok or Instagram. I would have found you somewhere. But, yeah. The pandemic hit and Clubhouse, the social audio app, came out. You mentioned Chris Doe. You connected me to Chris Doe. We featured him here on this show. It's a phenomenal episode. I recommend anybody that's listening, go back and listen to Chris Doe's episode. But can you talk a little bit about Clubhouse? Because we actually today, the day that we're recording this, was the day that we moved. We have a weekly room on LinkedIn Audio now. So LinkedIn created an audio platform, social storytelling online using audio. But Clubhouse is a special place. Can you tell us what it did for you, what it done for your career?
Oh my goodness. I would say Clubhouse got me out of my own way. And I think it helped me because it started at a time when I was pivoting and I was being more vocal. Because I started Clubhouse with a friend of mine, and it was called Conversation with the Aunties. And we would have real raw conversations about what it is to be a woman, what it is to be in relationships, all of these different things. And I began to find myself in other rooms, or actually put myself in other rooms, because I did have to build my brand and my business. It was getting on a stage that was full of people, and I got so tired of the pitch, but having to find a way to talk about, you know, what it is that I do, because people always want you to introduce yourself, which I think is such BS. Now,
hey, I make people introduce.
You themselves. Do, but here's the thing: they do it for
that's awesome.
They do it for, like, they want you to introduce yourself so they can say, oh, she's so phenomenal and she's great. It's the whole fake hype stuff that got on my nerves. Wasn't necessarily introducing yourself, but it's the fake hype that went after it.
Yeah,
and but again, getting out there and seeing what was out there and seeing how many people were trying to start businesses or saying they were businesses. And I'm not saying you can't be an entrepreneur and have a job, but it kind of takes something away from your entrepreneurship when you're trying to push somebody into a $1,000 course and you have a minimum wage job. Or, you know what, you're barely one step ahead, but you're trying to tell people how to get three steps ahead. And there was just so much fake and fuckery on there that part I did not like. Hey, you told me I can cut loose. So here
that's fine. You're good. You better cut loose. We're not publishing this unless I get the real brand mother.
But then there were also these rooms where you got to sit and learn and listen. So, like, even finding you, when we used to go into the food room with some of the chefs and different things like that, because I did want to help chefs, and listening to them and some of their problems, and it was still always the same problems. They were either trying to grow their catering business, or they were trying to be private chefs, and they were trying to do all these things, but no one wanted to talk about brand and marketing. They want to know, how much should I charge for this catering job? Bitch, if you look at your numbers, you would know how much to charge for a catering job. But no one wants to talk about numbers. They don't see how your numbers are connected to your brand and marketing. Yep. If you don't position yourself to charge a higher price, then it doesn't matter what you charge, because nobody's going to pay it. Yep. Or either they're going to get over here and they're going to tell you, you know what? Well, how about I get a discount? Sweetie, if you don't know me, you cannot ask me for a discount. That shit is not happening. And we get all caught up in all of these different things. But Clubhouse was showing me all of these things that people were doing and calling themselves businesses. And while they may have been a business, they were, all I saw was, like, you're going to continue to struggle. you're going to continue to have a hard time, because every time I went to a room, somebody was always asking the same question. How do I get more leads and how do I increase revenue? That question is as old as time.
Yeah.
And the thing about personal branding for me, sweetie, instead of it, even now they tell you to hire influencers. How come you're not an influencer? You Maybe. Should be influencing somebody. I'm just saying, for your own brand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Top influencer for your own brand.
Absolutely, 100%. But
people are constantly telling you, oh, hire an influencer. Why am I paying them when I don't even know how to talk about my own shit? That does not make sense to me. So if I can't talk about it, how am I going to tell you how to talk about it? But because someone has 100,000 followers, you think because all of those followers are there, that they're actually going to make you some money. But you didn't do your due diligence because their audience is not for you. You trying to sell pajamas and you going over here giving it to the cookie lady because she got 100,000 followers. What kind of nonsense is that?
Yep.
And because she doesn't know how to wrap herself in a blanket and curl up with your cookies in order to promote them, you ain't made no money. You just spent some.
Yep.
And so now you're worried about the return on your investment when you're advertising and you're hiring influencers and you're doing all these things. Sweetheart, open your own damn mouth. Say something. Advocate for your own shit. And it does not have to be you constantly selling or having a pitch in your back pocket. I don't believe in pitching anymore. I believe in having a conversation. I can tell you what I do. You can go look at my website and see what I do, but that's not how I'm coming out the gate.
Yeah.
And every time we run into somebody that wants to tell you how to do your business, oh, well, let's hear your elevator pitch. I don't have one. Ask me a question. Yeah. And I will answer it based on what I know how to do. If you want to ask me about personal branding, well, what is this right here? Okay, well, you're having a pricing strategy problem. That is not a brand problem. You're having a messaging problem. You're talking to the wrong audience. All of those are different things, but you think the whole thing is going to fix your shit is an elevator pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here with that nonsense.
Let's get to the personal branding. We have lots of restaurateurs that listen to this. We have technology professionals that listen to this. We have content creators that listen to this. For me, having someone like you on the show is a real treat because you talk about the truth that comes out of someone's mouth. Mm-hmm. You talk about a personal brand. And I think for me, it's very important when we think about social media and we think about, I have an Instagram for my restaurant. And then I have my own personal Instagram, which is private. And I don't let, you know, that's only for my family. Yet I have a problem building my personal brand for my restaurant. Well, how do you solve that problem?
I believe in keeping my personal life and my personal brand separate to the best of my ability. Now, I say that because of, like I said, my problem with having an identity crisis when I was Mrs. Mista. And so I make that separation. But when you have things in your life that are relevant to how you got here, to how you stay here, to how you do here, then that's when you bring in the personal. I work with Neil as Neil does voiceover now. So when you see my husband, it's because he's working for me. I've hired him as a voiceover artist to do something.
Do you pay him well?
I'm going around telling you when we go hang out at the cigar lounge and sit down while he's having his bourbon and I'm smoking my cigar. I don't share that with y'all. I don't tell you when I'm taking my daughter to the movies because I'm sorry. I always had this fear that someone would step to my daughter, not meaning any harm, but you would step to her and you don't know me as a real mother. I tell people I am one lifetime movie away from being the crazy. Yeah, don't mess with my kid. Don't mess with her. So how I am as a mother when you see me talking to Morgan about something is different than how I am in public. Don't just step to my child. And so there are certain things that I just don't mix. But when you're trying to grow your personal brand, and if your child is a part of that, like I said, when Morgan was in the restaurant, oh, she was always in the photo. She was working the front counter. She knew how to cashier. She knew how to cash out. She knew how to go to the bank. And she got the biggest tips because she was the cutest kid in the joint.
Yep.
And people were like, where's Morgan? I want her to take my order. So there was a reason for her to be there. And there was a reason why she worked there. She got a check on Friday just like everyone else. And so if you're going to bring your family and friends into it, trust and believe, first of all, ask, because not everybody wants to be a part of it. I don't necessarily, the things that I share about my family when it comes to my business, I always ask them, you okay with me sharing a story?
Yeah.
I don't just think because it's my life and my story that I get to share it all willy-nilly. But if you're going to incorporate them, then do it in a way that they're okay with it. Don't just tell your kid, oh, well, come on and do this. You probably didn't have this kind of parenting. But we had them parents that one, it was do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
And two, there was do what I told you. Don't ask me no questions.
Yeah.
So under that guise, if you have kids that you're going to make them stand in front of the camera and you want them to fix your face right now. Yeah, that's some hostile stuff. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I do. I know what you're talking about. Fix your face.
Yes.
Of course.
But if you're going to blend your personal life and your personal brand, make sure people are clear on the boundaries. Because the reason I name my personal brand, I could talk to the Ghetto Country grandmother. I am that level of crazy. I will talk to her. It's like, yeah, no, this is not your time. This is not your place.
Yep.
And I also tell people, you know what? Ghetto Country grandmother is an empathic bitch. Phyllis is a petty bitch. Don't cross over into this land unless you want all of this.
Yeah.
But knowing these different things, knowing where the boundaries are, and I've started terming like what you do as far as your brand with your family and all, is branding out loud, because this is all how I want to bring this to the game. But not everyone wants to do that. But you still have to recognize how you're going to bring your personal brand to the forefront, even if you don't want to share your personal life. Sweetie, personal branding does not mean that you have to put your life on display, but you have to find a way to be comfortable with it, because this is the new currency.
Yes.
Personal branding is the new currency, because people want to know, they want to hear you. And we talk about brand voice and all of these different things and how we do this thing. You want people, when they read shit or when your face decides to go across the street on a bus or something like that, when they see it, they're going to hear you, because audio branding is a thing. And not enough people consider audio branding, because I don't care if they see you or they don't see you. If they're putting you on a podcast or they're putting you on a pedestal, wherever they're putting you, your voice is going to resonate in their head. People, when they read my book, it's like, you know what? When I read your book, I hear your voice all up and through. It's because I talk.
Yeah.
I talk. And it's all of these different pieces that we need to put together for our personal brands that people don't understand, or they don't want to understand. Oh, I'm just going to show up and just show all my ass and act a zip damn fool and call it a personal brand. Sweetie, that's not how you're going to make your money. Because if you also understand what your sales strategy is, your sales strategy should fit your personal brand strategy, because you got to get people in this funnel. You got to get them through this process. But if you don't understand your sales tactics the way that you know how to do them comfortably, you know what? You have a hard time with the money conversation. Oh, when should I bring up money? When should you not?
Yeah.
If you understand how you fit, if you're going to, what is it? Farm, what is it? I'm trying to think, farm, trap, or what's the other one? Farm, trap, or hunt.
There you go.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah. If you know your personality does not make you a hunter, then don't go out here trying to be boss hog and tell people how to buy something. If you know that you're more of a trapper, then how are you going to set the trap?
Yeah,
because that's going to fit your brand personality and make it easier for you to ask for the money. When you ask, can I cater a job? You know how the pitch is supposed to go. When you ask, can you be on a panel? You know how that's going to go, because currency is all through, up and through, whether it's in marketing, whether it's in money, whether it's in time with someone. There's different types of currency, and how you get out there and you talk about it, how you be about it, sweetie. Trust and believe, your personal brand is going to be the saving grace, because that is the new currency for 2024.
So I've been podcasting since 2017. I've interviewed so many incredible people.
Yes.
You came on my show. You came on Digital Hospitality sometime during the pandemic, and you said something that I've repeated in clubhouse rooms. I've repeated on stages. I asked you, why do people have a problem? Why do business owners, why do entrepreneurs have a problem with creating content and creating content that actually resonates with an audience? And you said, honey, it's easy. They don't lean into their crazy. What do you mean they don't lean into their crazy?
Yeah. I believe in owning your crazy. You can lean or you can own it, whichever way you want to do it. But in owning your crazy is saying that, you know what? There's some character flaws here. And it's not that I'm putting on display. I'm not that I'm picking at the scabs of it, but owning your crazy is like, you know what? This is the real part that I want to show on a daily basis. Because sometimes when you're doing business, you're not always in the mood to do business. But if you have that persona, that part of you that knows how to get the job done, then that's what you bring to the personal brand. That level of crazy is what you own. I own Ghetto Country in my brand because, you know what? This is how I get shit done.
Yep.
If I don't do this, if I go back to code switching, it would be a lot harder for me to sell because I'm so worried about what's going to come out of my mouth. Did I use enough $5 words? Am I speaking the language? Am I not being offensive? Sweetie, I'm a walking trigger. I'm sorry. I'm a walking explicit warning. I'm all those things. And so that's the level of crazy I have to own and be comfortable with. There are haters out there. Oh my goodness. They don't like me. Folks like, ooh, she don't represent all black women. You thank God for that. Both full of crazy. Yeah. But if you own the crazy that makes you comfortable and make comfortable enough to make your money, then that's what you need to own. And it does not matter who is. I don't even believe in competition anymore. I believe there are alternatives. People are going to spend money where they want to spend money because I am not at the competition level. I'm not trying to take down Pepsi and Coke and the rest of them. I'm trying to operate over here. And there are seven, 8 billion, trillion people, however many people in the world.
Yep.
And as a solopreneur on this side of the world, if I can't do enough to make my money, then you know what? It does not matter. I'm not competing with you. You can be sitting right next to me doing the same damn thing. I tell Chris, because Chris does personal branding now. He's analytical. I'm empathic. So you're going to go where you want to go. I'm going to spend my money with Chris because he got an Emmy. Fine. Go.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend my money with Liz because she's going to kick me in my ass and tell me the truth. Okay, fine. Come on.
Yep.
You get to pick where you spend your money, and that's how you show support. Where you spend your time is how you show support. So trying to sit up here and look at somebody and say, well, I want to do what they do. No, sweetie, you got to own your own level of crazy. Because even though they look good, does not mean that they're making the money that they claim that they're making. People talking about all the dollars they cocking and, you know what, show me the receipts. Miss me with the bullshit. Seriously. Seriously.
So on your website, in your LinkedIn profile, you give away a 2-word branding kit. Can you give us a behind the scenes? What is a 2-word branding kit?
2-word branding is about giving it a name. And whether you give it a name or give it a description, having that 2 words explains a lot. Ghetto country, again, hood adjacent by country mama. That's me. So that is my 2-word brand. Being a brand mother, that's another 2-word brand. Sweetie, I'm a mother to everybody. And it's all about branding, isn't it? I'm not trying to be your mama. I'm just trying to be your brand mama. So having a 2-word brand, and a lot of people try to do it on a level of being clever. I'm not clever. It's like you saying you're going for the easy, the low-hanging fruit and saying like you're curiously creative.
Yeah.
That's low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Come on now. And you think that that's going to get someone to notice you. And for me, when you have a personal brand, when you give it a name, one, you can separate yourself from it. And two, you can use it like magic.
Yeah.
Because even if you're networking, I can go into a room and somebody will say, hey, or walk up to me and say, how you doing? And da-da, what's your name? Oh, sweetie, I'm the ghetto country grandmother, but you can call me Phyllis today. And it's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And they remember ghetto country grandmother more than they remember Phyllis. And this is especially important for people who are still new to the game and trying to build their network and trying to get known. Because our names are so commonplace with everybody having a social media, people are not going to remember your name.
Yep.
And sweetie, that's the one thing you want them to remember. How you give it out means a lot. It's like, I don't remember her real name, but she said ghetto country grandmother. I remember that shit. And they can go and Google that. And everybody, like SEO is a played out tactic as well, because if somebody remembers your 2-word brand, they will look that up before they look up your name. And your 2-word brand should be the only thing dominating that page.
Of course.
And trying to use that and tie it to your crazy. What does that look like? It's like if I were going to, if like you even have your whole digital hospitality,
that's right.
You being that digital hospitality, that's a 2-word brand.
Yeah.
Because the name of your company is Cali Barbecue.
Yep.
But the 2-word brand is, you know what? It's about digital hospitality. And you've tied so much to that, and rising tides lift all ships. That's a part of it. Your grandfather saying, be curious and all of that kind of stuff.
Yep.
That's tied to the 2-word brand of digital hospitality. And there's so many things that now are that have become a part of it. It's like you couldn't separate it from the brand if you tried.
Yeah.
But people, it's like, I may not remember Sean, but I remember digital hospitality. And look at what it's gotten you. It's gotten you on the advisory board of Toast. It's gotten you to speak in front of all of these different crowds. And it's gotten you sought after. And people will look at your social media. Oh, well, he only got 10 or 12 likes. Y'all, Sean be bossing the fuck out. Y'all just don't know. People are coming for him to pay him money to do things because they remember digital hospitality.
Well, and, I want to run something by you because I heard it recently. I'm going to start talking about it more. But the problem that most people have, you know, we live in an influencer economy, a creator mm-hmm. economy, and everyone wants to be viral. Everyone wants to have all this influence, all these followers. And the problem is that you shouldn't want to be well known. Mm-hmm. You should want to be known well.
Yes.
If you're known well, and especially in the world that we live in, we're talking about B2B content and B2C content. But in the B2B content, to your point, those 10 likes, the people that are liking the page, those people have actual influence because they have legitimate business. They mm-hmm. have legitimate business and they have legitimate buying power. And known well is something that, because of that deep knowledge of who you are and what you do, now they can be a referral source and go out and tell other people, you got to work with Phyllis. Yeah. Why? Because I know her well. It's mm-hmm. not about being well known. It's not that 100,000 people know. It's the hundreds, it's the thousands that know you well and know you deeply to go and refer you to other people. And that's the power of personal branding.
I totally agree with that. And when we look at numbers and metrics and all that stuff, that's great for analyzing your data.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, it's the people that you connect with on the regular basis that become advocates and adversaries. It's like if somebody came for Sean in my face, oh no, hold up, dude. You don't, I get to check them because I know on that level.
Correct.
And then they get to say, it's like, oh shit, Sean got bodyguards out here. You damn right he do. At least in my world, right. He does.
100%. Absolutely.
And you get to have that. And a lot of people do not have that. It's like, you think that I have to buy from Sean in order to advocate for him, in order to stick up for him? No. But no. I know his brand and I know what he's doing. And I know that brother is legit.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't get. You think that everybody that is following you, and I've seen people build up their following. Like, okay, tell me how much of that converted to dollars?
Correct.
You got a whole slew. You got 2,000 more followers. How much money did you make off of that?
Correct.
Oh, well, I wasn't trying to make money. Bullshit. Because the whole point of being in business is to make money.
Of course. Not trying to go out of business. Number one goal of business is to stay in business.
It's to stay in business.
Yep.
And that was something else that hit me. One of when restaurants were closing and even still closing, a lot of them refused to increase their profit margin because they're afraid.
Yep.
But see, if you show the value of your space and not depend on the price of your burger, trust and believe, people will pay the higher amount because you've shown the value of not just dining out, but having an experience. And I'm not talking about flames off of desserts and all that kind of shit. But there's a feeling and a vibe that people get. You know what? We are the destination spot for first dates.
Yep.
And being that destination spot for first dates, you make sure that everybody knows it. Yep. Oh, I hired her when she came here for her first date. So now she gets to tell her first date story. And you get to have these experiences that no one else is having. Now somebody else is going to try. Oh, well, we want to do first date stuff. Oh, but you're too late because you're at the bottom of the rung. But now, because we talk about laddering and all of that kind of stuff, because we're only going to remember the top three of anything.
Yep.
So that top three of being, you know what, being the dating destination, there's only three at the top and I was first. So everybody else comes after me. But when you start deciding like, oh, well, I want this to be this. Now you just change the brand and people are going to stop coming. Yep. Now you're going to start seeing diminishing returns because you tried to be something other than. It's like you selling forks all day long, and then all of a sudden you're going to try and sell a spatula. I can't eat with a spatula. I eat with a fork. So, you know, show me different forks or something like that. But even at that, you know this, don't give me too many options, because the more options you give me, the harder it is for me to make a decision. And so if I can't make a decision based on the menu, let me make a decision based on the experience. How about that?
Yep. So every single week on Wednesday and on Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific time, you can join us on LinkedIn Audio. It's a chance to talk to Phyllis. It's a chance to talk to me. It's a chance to talk to so many other digital hospitality leaders all over the globe. I'm so impressed with this community. It's been a true honor to start on Clubhouse. Now we're on LinkedIn Audio, but you, the listener, If you're driving in your car, if you're driving onto the restaurant, if you want to be a content creator, if you're looking at the business creator economy, if you're listening to this show, if you've stayed this far, you matter. Your voice matters, and you need to get on stage and you need to start telling your story. It doesn't matter if you're in sales, doesn't matter if you're in marketing. Everyone's in sales. Everyone's in marketing, and your voice matters. So that's why we host those rooms. You can join Phyllis. You can join myself. We also do social shout out. My social shout out is going to go to at Real Big Mista. Why? Because I love him. He tags me on Instagram on all of his crazy ass videos. He tags me on TikTok. He hasn't joined us on LinkedIn audio, but I'll bug Phyllis and get him on stage so he can join us there. But that goes my social shout out. How about you, Phyllis? Who's your social shout out go to?
Oh, my social shout out would be, who's my favorite person? Probably would be you.
Oh, no way.
Because like I said, you don't change your message in order to get numbers. And I know people who are number chasers and metric chasers, and it's not anything, but it's you have stayed consistent and true to the game since I've known you. And even before Toast became a thing and before Entrepreneur Magazine became a thing, you were talking about digital hospitality. You have told us about your grandfather time and time again and how he stays there. And it always just touches my heart. And it's that level of consistency that people need to understand about branding. Jumping from thing to thing is not where it's at.
Yeah.
Trying to please everybody is not where it's at.
Yeah.
And you, like I say, you hold it down for digital hospitality and nobody else can take that throne from you. You cannot wear that crown, sweetie, because baby, everybody that knows about digital hospitality, if you try to say, I came, I was the first, we will whoop your ass.
Phyllis, you are too sweet. I am grateful for you. Where's the best place for people to buy your books, to book you, to come and speak at their company? Where can people find you?
Oh my goodness. You can always find me on LinkedIn. I'm always causing trouble over there. They kicked me off for 3 weeks, but now I'm back.
But you're the only person I know that's been kicked off. Plenty of fools that have been kicked off of Twitter, but not LinkedIn.
Oh my goodness. I was kicked off LinkedIn for 3 whole weeks. But yes, you can find me with my nonsense on LinkedIn. You can check out my podcast, Grandma's Podcast. I'm coming new and different. And Sean, we get to do this again because you're coming on my show.
Absolutely.
But you can get my book on Amazon. It's called Branding, Boundaries, and Bullshit. It is my process of what I call PB and Slay, personal brand and slay. And it is about how you get to own your shit and not worry about everybody else. And it's about being courageous. Excuse me. It's about being courageous. People will tell you to be confident. Everybody can't muster up confidence. I'm sorry. I'm not one of those people, but I can damn sure find me some courage to do some shit.
Yeah.
So it's about being courageous and owning your crazy. Get out there and do it. So that's
Phyllis,
it.
One of my mentors, David Meltzer, he talks about the truth vibrates the fastest. And when I heard your truth, when I heard your voice, I knew that was someone that I needed to connect with. And I'm so grateful to call you a friend, a mentor, a mentee. We both teach each other on a daily basis. I love what you're building. I'm grateful for your friendship, and I really appreciate you sharing your secrets with our restaurant influencers community.
I appreciate you too, sweetie. And stay true to the game. That's all.
You got it. Now, if you guys want to keep in touch with me, it's at Sean P. Walchef, SHAWNPWALCHEF. Find me on Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, all the platforms. As always, stay curious, get involved, and don't be afraid to ask for help. Appreciate you guys. We'll catch you next week.